The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
Do you remember the first time someone invited you to church? The very first time someone invited you to come to church. And for some of us, the first invitation that we ever received to come to church was from our parents. And it wasn't necessarily that we were invited to come to church, that we may have been drug along to church and said, this is where we're going on Sunday and you're coming. And and because they're our parents, we came. And that that's a great thing. I'm really excited about that, how we pass along to the next generation and bringing them into church and to being connected in the church. But for me, I didn't grow up in church at all, and so I did receive a first-time invitation, and it was from a neighborhood friend of mine. His name was Jimmy Murdoch, and Jimmy and I liked to play together and do stuff together, and one day he invited me to spend the night on Saturday night. And he was telling me all the fun things that we were going to do, and we were getting really excited. And then he said, oh, and on Sunday morning, after Mom makes us pancake breakfast, we'll go to church. And like, okay. And so I thought about that and said, well, how can I pass up pancakes? And who doesn't love pancakes? So I went and spent the night with Jimmy on Saturday night, and we went to church. I went with Jimmy and his family that Sunday morning. Now, another question I have is, do you remember the first time that you invited someone to come to church? That you thought about it and you had someone on your mind for a while and you invited a friend to come to church with you. Now, I remember the first time that I invited someone to come to church with me. And it wasn't to the church I went to with Jimmy. I visited that once, maybe twice. But as I got older and I graduated from high school, I went into basic training in the Army. And as a young guy and away from home and a lot of things going on in my life, a second week of basic training, a chaplain led me to faith in Jesus Christ. And I thought that was fantastic. And I gave a general invitation, hey, who wants to go to chapel with me? But it was the week before we graduated, and it was Easter Sunday. And I asked a couple of friends very specifically, would you like to come to church with me this Sunday? It's Easter Sunday. It's right before we graduate. We'd be given a little more freedom, so we're going to be able to walk to church on our own without a drill sergeant taking us there. And I thought that might be a really cool thing. And my two friends decided this was the first Sunday that the drill sergeant wasn't going to also wake us up at 6 in the morning and have us clean the barracks. And they decided they were going to sleep in instead of going to church. Now, the first time I remember inviting someone and they actually came to church with me, that I was serving in Seoul, Korea. And I asked my friend Steve if he would come to church with me. And he actually said yes. And we walked over to the chapel together and worshiped together at my first duty station. But one of the things that I've come to realize, even in as much as asking Steve to come to church, I found out that it's not nearly enough to bring somebody to church. It's good, don't get me wrong. It's a great thing to do. I think each of us should invite someone to come to church with us. But as hard as this sounds, bringing someone to church is not the goal. The goal is not to just bring someone to church. The goal is actually to bring someone to Jesus. And the church is a great step in that process, but we must remember that the goal, the invitation, is to bring someone to Jesus. Mark tells us a story about four guys who were determined to bring their friend to Jesus. So look with me, if you would, at Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And it says, I think I'm only going to do 1 through 5, though. It says, a few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such a large number that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. Jesus saw their faith, and he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Mark tells us about these four guys. And these four guys really wanted to bring their friend to Jesus. They were determined to bring him to Jesus. You see, their friend was paralyzed. And we don't really know a lot about this guy specifically. We don't know if he was born paralyzed and he had had to deal with that all his life, or if maybe he had worked with these four guys and they had worked together and this guy had gotten in an accident or something and had become paralyzed. We don't know. But what we do know is that he had these four friends, and these four friends thought perhaps they might be able to help. And they decided that they had heard about this guy, Jesus, and they thought maybe Jesus could help our friend. And so they were determined to bring their friend to Jesus. And so I think the first thing that they had to do is they had to figure out where Jesus was going to be. You see, they knew that Jesus had been traveling around and that he had just recently returned to Capernaum. And so these guys had to learn where Jesus was staying. Now, this probably wasn't too difficult for them to figure out, because they could step out of their house and look down the street, and that place where all the people were hanging out, that's probably where Jesus was. He had drawn a crowd, and a number of people were coming there. So they figured out where Jesus was, where the people were gathering, and they were determined to bring their friend there to Jesus. Now, the next thing I think these guys decided was they weren't just going to tell their friend where they could go to find Jesus. They decided to do something more than that. They decided that they were going to go and pick their friend up and take him to Jesus. And that's what they did. They literally went to the house and picked their friend up. Remember, the guy was paralyzed. He could not walk on his own. He could not get to Jesus on his own. So his four friends came and they carried him to the place where Jesus was. They were determined to bring their friend to Jesus. And then when they got to the house, a huge crowd had already gathered there. And again, that's probably how they figured out where Jesus was. But since it was such a large crowd, it might have even been the whole town that had come out to see Jesus. And they decided, we're going to go right up into the front door and bring our friend to see Jesus. But you know what? They couldn't get to the front door. There were already people camped out at the front door, people trying to listen, peeking their heads into the door, because the house was already full of people. And so that they couldn't get in that way. And I imagined if they were like me, they thought, okay, can't get in through the door, let's try the window. And they might have even gone to the window and looked in, but there were probably already people around there. The whole area, people were camped out wanting to listen to Jesus. But do you know what? These guys were not deterred. These guys were not dissuaded when they couldn't get into the house. They were determined to bring their friend to Jesus. So what did they do? They found a way. They found a way to get their friend to Jesus. So they look at the house and they see that they could get up on the roof. So they climbed up onto the roof. And perhaps from either looking in the door or peering in the window, they determined about where exactly Jesus was inside the house. And they might have even marked that out on the roof. And they're like, okay, 6 steps from the edge and 9 steps from the door, he should be right here. So they marked it off and they started to dig a hole through the roof and started taking the materials out, opening up a spot where they could lower their friend in, still laying on his mat, sitting on his mat, lowering his their friend down right through the hole to come right in front of Jesus. They were determined to bring their friend to Jesus. Now, can you imagine that scene just for a moment? Think about that, maybe if it was happening this morning or some other time that you've been at church. So you're sitting and you're listening to Jesus. Jesus has come in and the place is packed, can't get through the door, and you're listening to Jesus and you really want to make sure you hear him. So you get a good seat right on the front row. There's nobody on the front row. So it wouldn't be that close, but you'd have to watch from where you're at to see people of what was going on with Jesus. And as you're sitting there listening to him, you start to see little dust start to fall down from the ceiling. And you're like, well, that's weird. And then debris starts to fall down through the ceiling, and you hear some noise going on right up there. And like, what in the world is going on? And you look up there and you start to see the sky. And the hole gets a little bigger and you see some guys looking down from the roof. And you're like, okay, that's weird. And then all of a sudden, they block out the sight of the sky, and you see this thing start to be lowered down. And it's a guy's mat. And the friends up above have tied rope to it. And they're lowering the guy down from the ceiling. And he comes down right in front of Jesus. Wow. These guys were determined to bring their friend to Jesus. And just as determined as they were, they brought him and got him right at the feet of Jesus. And you see, they had heard Jesus had done miraculous things. Their friend had been paralyzed. And they brought him to Jesus so that Jesus might heal him. But what happened? Jesus saw their faith, and Jesus gave their friend what he really, really needed. Jesus says to the man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And that caused quite an uproar. The teachers, the Pharisees, whoever else might have been there, the first thing that they thought was, "How can he do that? How can he forgive sin?" They just couldn't believe Jesus would say such a thing. And Jesus knew what they were talking about, what was in their minds. And he says to them, which is easier? To say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk. And you see, this almost is a trick question, because we today would think it would be easier to say to him, your sins are forgiven. He's paralyzed. Medically, people hadn't been able to do anything for him. We might think it was easier to say, your sins are forgiven. But the Jews knew that only God could forgive sin. And who was this guy who would come to Capernaum and was preaching and talking about heaven? Who was he to think he could say to this guy, your sins are forgiven? And Jesus did an incredible thing. He says, which is easier? To just say your sins are forgiven, or to say take up your mat and walk? And this is what the four friends wanted. They wanted their friend to get healed. They wanted him to be able to walk, to be able to overcome being paralyzed. And Jesus said, which is easier? And then he said, so that you understand that Jesus, the Son of Man, has the authority to forgive sins, take up your mat and walk. And the guy was healed. He was healed. He took up his mat and walked. But you see, even though that was what the friends had brought him before Jesus, he received what was even more important than that. His sins had been forgiven. Amazing. amazing. Now, have you ever thought about the reasons that people have for wanting to bring someone to Jesus? The four friends were bringing their friend who was paralyzed to Jesus for healing. And have you ever thought of the reasons that people have for wanting to bring people to Jesus? We may all may have different reasons for initially inviting people to Jesus. You see, I've known some friends, some couples who are really struggling in their marriage. They're having some real issues. They weren't doing well in their relationship. They didn't really know how to express love to one another or to communicate with each other or even just how to really care for each other. They didn't know that Ephesians 5 says to us, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And wives, respect your husbands. They didn't know that. But when we see couples who are having marriage issues, we want to bring them to Jesus so that Jesus can help heal their marriage. I know some guys that are struggling physically. They're having physical problems. They're in a lot of pain. I've known people who've been dealing with cancer, some dealing with stage 4 cancer. And they don't really have a lot of hope in their lives at that point. And they don't know what 1 Peter 5:7 says, when he says, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. When we're seeing people deal with physical issues, we want to bring them to Jesus so Jesus can heal them. And I know people who are dealing with drugs, that they have spiraled downward into the hole that they have dug of drug abuse and addiction. And the addiction that they have dealt with has ruined their life, any form of life that they have had. And they don't really see any hope. They don't know how to deal with their addiction. They don't know that 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. When we see people dealing with addictions, we want to bring them to Jesus so he can heal them of their addiction. We all may have many initial reasons for wanting to bring someone to Jesus, and those are good. But really, the reason to want to bring someone to Jesus is so that they can have a relationship with him, so that they may have forgiveness of their sins. And we want them to hear the words that this guy on the mat heard. Son, your sins are forgiven. We want them to know the truth of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We want them to know that if they will come to Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Friends, whatever the initial reason we might have for wanting to bring someone to Jesus, the overall reason that is there is that we want them to have their sins forgiven, that they would come to follow Jesus with their whole life. Because you see, we know that without Jesus, people are lost. But with Jesus, people are found. That is the reason that we want to bring people to Jesus. And if we know that's true, and it is true, the question is, how passionate are we about bringing our friends to Jesus? How determined are we to bring our friends to Jesus? And do you realize that God has decided that we We are his plan to reach our friends. We are his plan to reach our neighbors. We are his plan to reach our whole world. Again, Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 5:20, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. We are God's plan. So what will we do to bring someone to Jesus? How determined are we to bring our friends to Jesus? One of the first questions in that of thinking of our determination is, will we make an invitation to our friends? You know, sometimes we're even hesitant to take this first step in merely inviting someone to come to church with us. It's a simple thing, really. It's often the first, the smallest step that we can make in bringing someone to Jesus. Do you have someone in mind that you would like to bring to church with you? It's a first, great first step. And I encourage you to all do that. But how determined are we to bring our friends to Jesus if all we do is invite them to come to church? It would be like the four friends of the paralyzed man just pointing their friend towards the door where Jesus was in Capernaum. Something else we might do, we might go and pick our friend up and bring them into church with us. Well, we take that next step and say, hey, you know what? You don't have to go out of your way. I will come to you. I will come and get you. Maybe our friend doesn't even have a way to get to church, but they don't say anything about it. Will we go and get them? Will we have them come and sit with us at church? And after church, will we go to lunch with them, maybe at our house, maybe at their restaurant or something, and ask them about their experience? Ask them if they have any questions about what was in God's Word and things that we might then share with them. I think this is an excellent thing to do. I think it is a fabulous next step in bringing someone to Jesus. But my friends, if we stop there, we're not nearly as determined as the four friends who brought their friend to Jesus. It would be like those four guys carrying their friend to the door, but not being able to get them inside to see Jesus. So friends, are we really determined to bring our friends to Jesus? Are we as determined as the four friends who went the extra mile to bring their friend to Jesus? What did they do? They carried him up to the roof. Have you ever tried to carry a full-grown man any place? They carried him up to the roof. They figured out where Jesus was in the house. They dug a hole. Can you imagine the homeowner? What in the world is going on? But they dug a hole through the roof and they lowered their friend right next to Jesus. What would it possibly look like if we were this determined to bring our friend to Jesus? Well, one of the things I think that we would do is that we would enter into our friends' lives. I heard someone once say, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And the way we care for someone is we enter into their lives with them. That we are there for them as a friend. That we understand our friends' needs and we truly enter into their lives. We need to be in our friends' lives to be able to share Jesus with them. Romans 10:13-15 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. As a true friend who is determined to bring our friend to Jesus, we are sent into their lives to share the good news. Now, second thing I think we need to be able to do to be determined to bring our friend to Jesus is to be an example who can share the gospel. 1 Peter 3:15 says, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life, and if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. You see, when we live a life devoted to Christ, people will notice that. People will take notice of a life devoted to following Christ. People will see the difference in our lives. And when we serve as an example of what it means to follow Jesus, people will ask about our life. How is it that you can stay motivated when things are bad? How is it that you seem to be able to lift your head up in dark times? What is it that's different about you? People will ask. And when people ask, we must be able to tell them about our life. When we live our life for Jesus, we then must be able to explain that to people. We must be able to explain how they can come to Jesus as well. And just as a quick example of a way that you can do that, this is a quick, easy way to tell someone how they can approach Jesus. You remember your ABCs. Say, the first thing I did was admit that I had sinned and that I needed God's forgiveness. And then I knew I had to believe that Jesus loved me and died on the cross for my sin. And then C, I committed my life to follow Jesus. You can share that with someone and tell them that's the same way they can be introduced to Jesus. You see, as a true friend who is determined to bring our friend to Jesus, we must live as an example and then be able to explain the gospel to them. And then finally, I really think we must be able to encourage our friends to make the choice to follow Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19-20, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus gives us a clear call to go and make disciples. This means that we are to help other people to be able to obey Jesus. And how we do that, it means we get into the Bible with our friends. We get into the Bible with other people. We help them in making decisions that are aligned with God's Word. We listen to their problems and we help them look for biblical solutions. And the truth is that that does get messy at times. But as a true friend who is determined to bring our friend to Jesus, we will help them to truly follow Jesus with their whole lives. Mark tells a story of four friends who went the extra mile to bring their friend to Jesus. You see, they saw their friend's need. They stepped into their friend's life and they did what was necessary to bring him to Jesus. They were determined to bring their friend to Jesus. I got to tell you, these guys are my heroes. I don't know how many times I had read this scripture, and I focused on the paralyzed man getting brought down before Jesus, that he was healed and forgiven. I, of course, thought of Jesus who was preaching, and he saw faith, and he rewarded faith. But I didn't initially think of the four guys. The four guys who were determined to bring their friend to Jesus. They made me realize how important it is to go the extra mile to bring our friends to Jesus. And as a true friend who is determined to bring our friend to Jesus, we will invite them. We will enter into their lives as a friend. we will be an example of what it means to follow Jesus and be able to share the gospel with them. And then we will encourage them to truly follow Jesus. And not just merely with our words, but with our friendship and walking beside them and teaching them what God's word says and how to follow him. I think this is what it means to be truly determined to bring our friend to Jesus. I guess the question for us is, am I determined to bring my friend to Jesus? What will I do to be a true friend who is determined to bring my friend to Jesus? Let me pray for us today. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for what it means in our lives, Lord. And Lord, we want to thank you for the example that you give to us. That you showed us the example of four friends who were determined to bring their friend to you, Lord. And Lord, I think of the people who were determined to bring me to you. I think of those who prayed for me ahead of the time that I took that step towards you. I think of the people who invited me to church. I think of the people who showed me what the gospel means. And then those who taught me how to follow you. And Lord, I think that's what you ask of all of us. So Lord, I ask that you put on our hearts today a friend that you would have us bring to you. Someone, whether it is their name coming to our mind or just a picture of their face in our head, Lord. That someone that you would bring to our mind that we can start to do the things that show we are determined to bring our friend to you. That we can invite them. That we can enter into their life. That we can be an example of faith and share what the gospel means. And that we can help them and encourage them to follow you. Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy that has meant all of the world to us. And we ask that you help us bring that to all of the world. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.